Insights, solutions, and networking all come together at RSA Conference. Join a global cybersecurity community at rsaconference.com/ITSPMAG24.
Welcome to the ITSB Magazine Podcast Network. You're listening to a new episode of Off the Record, a student abroad podcast, where your host, Saman Fatima, will cover the lengths of what it means to be a student and faculty. Saman and her guests will explore how, why, and what students, especially international students, face when they move abroad to complete their undergrad, master's, or PhD. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Hi everyone, this is Saman Fatima, and we're yet again back with another episode of Off the Record with Saman. And today we're moving more toward a newer university, and this is one place that I really wanted to go up on, and this is the college that we're discussing, and the student we've got here as part of the university is Abhishek Jaiswal. So welcome to the podcast, and we're really glad that you are associated and you came on board with the podcast on ITSB Magazine. We'll take one more second before he introduces himself and about Illinois Institute of Technology. And the ball keeps on rolling from there with the questions and with a lot of other activities. But I take this privilege here to wish everyone Happy Women's History Month. And March is really a special an auspicious month for all of us. And I really wish everyone is full with opportunities and confidence and a lot of leadership activities. And also whoever is celebrating Ramadan, I would really wish everyone the same and hope everyone's doing fine. So with that being said, we'll kickstart with a new episode, and that's Abhishek with us. And I'll just hand it over to him to introduce himself. What college is he from? What is the degree that he's pursuing? When is he graduating? What city he is in? And yeah, goes to you, Abhishek.
Thanks so much. Thanks for the kind introduction. So hello, everyone. My name is Abhishek. Currently, I'm pursuing my master's in data science at Illinois Tech. That's in Chicago, at the heart of Chicago. So I came to U States back in 2022, August 2022. And I started my journey back then. Apart from Illinois Tech, I had the admits from the universities like Arizona State University, University of Arizona, and Johns Hopkins, NJIT. But I chose IIT over the others because when I did a comparison study, I got to know that IIT's data science program is good and very competitive. In addition to that, I got to know about some of the professors who are doing the mainstream research related to AI and machine learning, for example, professors like Shlomo and among others. So that was my prime concern coming here. Apart from that, the getting the internship and a scholarship at Illinois Tech. So I got 2 months of internship as a data analyst back in India with the associate with the university. And there was a lump sum amount of scholarship, about 10K. So that was my prime reason choosing this. So that's about me and about the university in short.
Thank you so much, Abhishek. That's really a very inspirational introduction, I would say, because there are a lot of things that we would like to, you know, talk about, and we'll do that all through the hour. But yeah, first of all, that's really a great opportunity. And if I may ask for our viewers or the students who actually want to come to Illinois Institute of Technology, or we're associating it as short for IIT. So just wanting to understand how the coursework, like how the curriculum stood different from the other universities that you picked up. And was it just the internship that was the upper hand, like advantage of an internship and obviously the scholarship, or the curriculum, or, you know, the duration of the course? Was it also a point where you selected this particular degree and college?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say there, when we choose something, so there needs to be some concrete reasons behind it. So the two other that you just mentioned were among all of those reasons. Some other were I was in touch with some of the professors who are the dean level or the senior professors at IIT. For example, professors like Johan Ding, I was in touch with them for last 4 or 5 years before even coming to the IIT. And so I was in touch with them. I was going through their research work, what they are doing. So back in India, I started working with one of the professor on a research project. So this is another reason. Apart from that, when I did a comparative study among the data science program here and the other option that I mentioned. So I found out here we have more flexibility in choosing the courses in which mainstream direction we want to proceed. For example, if we want to talk about data science, so it's not just about one or two roles. It's data engineering, data scientist, data analyst, BI, BA, machine learning engineer, and tons of other roles. So if you're driving into one course, you need to make sure that if you can take one course, you have one another dimension. And as of now, IIT has like courses from the business school, from the mathematics department, from the physics department. We have courses like bioengineering. From the physics, we have quantum physics and quantum mechanics. We have quantum computing. We have the business level courses like project management and everything else around it. So it matters to you what you aspire to be. So once you decide that you are coming to IIT, you can build your course track like that. And we have a dedicated academic advisor who can help you with that. Otherwise, you can find a mentor for yourself. Let's say if I want to be a data scientist. So I have to choose the courses like that. I have to prepare myself like that. But if I want to move towards the data scientist and less towards the data engineering, it would be different. But if it's more towards the management side, less towards side the data, like a business analyst. So I have to choose courses like that. For example, it could be project management, the public engagement for scientists, or something else. So this was the another reason, the flexibility of choosing the courses. Apart from them, the bunch of activities, extracurricular activities, because IIT is in the heart of Chicago. So we have access to so many things. For example, networking events, the tech events, the hiring events, all of across the Chicago for free for us. So I was aware of these. Like if you simply go to the Google, simply search tech or the hiring events near me, you'll get a bunch of those. You can simply go as a student, be the part of it, go for the networking. Because at the end of the day, if you are in network with someone who can get things done easily for you, it's win-win situation. So these were the bunch of the reasons.
I guess the curriculum that I could hear is very flexible, and you can tune as per, I guess, through the degree as well. Like for example, had it been you thought that you want to become like a data scientist, but after like some time you think, no, I'm better off to be a business analyst. So it's that flexible that you can, you know, tune yourself to a different coursework mid-year.
Yes, it's that flexible. For example, let's say in the first semester, in the fall semester when I came, I was more towards a data scientist or let's say data analyst. So I was choosing courses like that. But let's say after 2 semesters, I realized, oh, maybe I need to dive more towards the business side of the data. So I can choose courses from the business school. But there is a core course requirement for the mathematics. Since we are in data science, so there are core requirements for mathematics and computer science. We have to complete it. Once we complete it, we are free to go whichever way we want any semester.
Yeah, it just makes me remember of the engineering time when we used to have like the first year, we have to take all of the common subjects. Yeah. That's the core to every branch. And then after that, you come to your branch core subjects and then you can.
So it's even more advanced to that. For example, let's say in the first semester, every single course at IIT, we have some core requirement, and then there are electives. So once we satisfy the core requirements, whether we satisfy in the first 2 semesters or first 3 semesters, as we decide. So once we are done with the course requirement, we can go for n number of electives, depend on what you want to be or what you're aspiring to be.
Okay, so that just gets like, is there not like, we're just jumping onto the coursework, but just wanting to ask, like every semester has like a set number of credits that you have to complete.
Yeah.
So you can go beyond that as well, and that could be like how.
Okay, so the maximum course credit that we can take at IIT, it's 12. That means roughly 4 courses, every course worth 3 credits. So that means in the first semester or second semester, you have to take 3 or 4 courses. And since every single program have a different credits. So talking about the data science here at IIT, we have 33 credits. So that means roughly 3 semesters, you have to take 9. Then last semester, you can have 6. So it goes like that. Or maybe sometimes we can take a summer credit let's say a summer course, then in the last semester, we're left with the three. So it's quite flexible. You can take summer courses as well.
That's nice. Like if one of your semester, you make it heavier, the other could be like lighter. That's nice. That's nice that it's like a fair balance there. So since we're talking about more towards the coursework and before jumping more questions onto the coursework, I just wanted to ask, like, when you applied for IIT, what were the university requirements, all sorts of logistic things that you submitted, or writing exams, or were there any video interviews or essays or nothing at all, just LORs and SOPs? So if you can enlighten.
Okay, so the universities I talked about, I'll mention again, including IIT, IIT, ASU, John Hopkins, University of Arizona, NJIT, all those five universities had the common requirements. That was TOEFL or IELTS. And then second was the GRE, LOR, SOP, and your transcripts, and every single details around it. But except ASU, which had the interviews, no other university has the interviews. So it was quite common. So after once you apply on the portal, you have to wait for maybe a month sometimes, or at least a month, or maybe sometimes 20, 30 days. So to get the acceptance or the rejection notification. So it was more or less same.
Okay, so if you can walk us through what all submissions you did for your time.
Okay, so for me, they waived off GRE. Why? Because the first thing, I had the WorkEx in the same dimension. For example, I was senior data analyst back in India. So they waived off the GRE requirement for me. But considering the TOEFL and the LORs, and I had to submit the LORs, one from my the working employer, and two from my academics, or it could be a combination of both, any way you want. So I had to submit three LORs, that is letter of recommendation, one statement of purpose, that is SOP. And I have to submit my TOEFL score directly. Apart from that, the transcript. And I think these are the bunch of the documents I did.
There were no like specific essays or video essays that were required as part of
it? No.
Oh, that's nice. That's still like an easy course of work. But yeah, I would say if we may just pinpoint here, like with IIT, do you happen to know like what are the minimum scores required for these examinations, like for GRE and TOEFL? What do they require?
Okay, so the person I have met, I have met so many people who came this semester or last semester up till, I think I came across the lowest score was 308 or 310, I believe, for the GRE.
Mm-hmm.
And for the TOEFL, I think it's 95, or it could be a low based on the case-to-case condition. But in general, we can take 95 and 308, let's say.
And in your perception, like it's both a balance of your scores and the profile that you submit of yourself leads to
that. Let's say if someone is coming directly out of the college, then they need to have something to show their credibility or what they can do. So that's why in that case, having a good GRE and TOEFL, there is a good GRE could be somewhere over 200, 320, and a good TOEFL would be over 100. So if you're coming with out of the college and trying to come to the IIT, I think somewhere around these scores, the margin would be somewhere between the 310 to 320. And for TOEFL, I believe it would be 95 above would be good. But if you have like at least 2-3 years of experience or somewhere around it, so then it could be 310 also, or the TOEFL could be 90 also. So it depends. Because and at the end of the day, you have to make your profile speak on your behalf.
Yeah, I agree. That really helps, because I do remember with my time with GSU, apart from all these things what you mentioned, I had to also submit like a video essay. So they gave us 5 minutes, and there was a portal, and there were 5 questions, and we had to answer it in 5 minutes. So that was also one thing where you could actually showcase your communication, or, you know, how many reasonings you give for those questions. So that is also more like a personal thing. So I know with every college, it's different how the process follow. But yeah, that's how something you add up to your profile. So yeah, that helps. So with that being said, we talked about the selection process. We talked about the coursework. So had it ever like crossed your mind that, you know, if not US, which other country you would have thought, or maybe your home country itself, what were your pros and cons in those spaces of doing the course from here and not from any other country?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I had my backup option as well, because when it comes to use visa processes, we cannot be very sure. So I had my options ready. So I had King's College in London. I had Trinity College in Ireland. Apart from that, I had two colleges in Australia.
So then you weighed out the curriculum, the coursework, the expenses and everything.
No, actually, yeah. So it's based on the priority. So I had the priority. So my first priority was US. Second was the King's College. Third was the Australia. Fourth was the Ireland. And that was the first criteria. So the second criteria was the number of opportunities. So for example, I'm working as an intern. So I was exploring the opportunities. I was in touch with the professors in those universities as well over the LinkedIn. And I would mention before going to the university, that's a good idea to get in touch with the professors, because once you talk to them, be polite. So once you talk to them, you can get more and more information. Then you have a good idea about the university from the ground level. So once you have that information, you can compare and you can work along what motivates you, or maybe if you find the common grounds between your profile or what you're aspiring to be and the universities or what the professor is saying. So once you have a common ground, you can proceed. So these were the two concrete grounds which I focused for before choosing the which way I need to go.
I guess you did a lot of digging before entering into any college, and that's like recommended. Yeah. At least get hold of professors, and it's pretty easy to email them and understand what projects they're working on, how your experience can fit in, and this is how you actually decide, okay, this one is a good professor, he's working on something that I can contribute to. So that's nice. That's like a good experience that you could share with us, and everyone can also get hold of it, that, you know, you can get the email IDs easily from the website and reach out to those departments or the professors, or maybe get help from the college advisor itself. That would be one route as well.
Yeah, for example, still talk to one of those professors, especially from the Australia. So they guided me on so many things. For them also, sometimes I join their LinkedIn Connect calls and to talk more about how we can move our way. So the university was UNSW, University of, that's in Sydney. So from one of the professor, I cannot take his name. So he is from UNSW, and I was humble enough because he was guiding me throughout the process. Even when I was in US, he offered me one research project, and he was offering me this stipend as well. But the criteria was I was supposed to travel to Australia back in the summers last year. But since I already had the internship, so I asked him humbly, that professor, since I have to focus on this, so please allow me to go ahead with it. And he was kind enough to allow me. So that's why if you build that kind of network, that kind of relationship with not just the university that you're going, but from the other, at least you'll get a bunch of information, what you can do, what they are doing, and you can collaborate with them on different projects. Or maybe once you're coming for the master's, specifically for the master's, you need to have something else apart from doing the regular courses at the university. You need to show that you are good at research, or maybe you are good at something that that you have added through the master's. So this is a good ground that you can get in touch with the collaborative project with the professors, go for the research works or something on these. And if you can collaborate the cross-continent teams, and you can show that you have a team and you're collaborating with them, you're doing something on these things, it's a good thing for your profile. So that's what I was doing with him. But since I hardly get time, so it's good. So that's what the one crucial insight I would give.
I do understand, like, the master's degree alongside with your curriculum, all these activities really do come handy, and
yeah,
you just build up your profile that, okay, you have been diverse, and it's also demographic wise as well, that you've spread across to a different country altogether and been in contact. And had it not been you were there with your internship, you would have taken those opportunities and explored those things as well.
Yeah.
So that's like opening gates to, you never know what can happen in the future.
Yeah, because I would like to mention one more thing. So since I mentioned I had the internship at the Ireland, I had the admit from the Ireland as well. And I was touching with some of the professors over there. So one of them, she asked me what work I'm doing. So as soon as I landed in US, it was September 2022. And within 15 days, she asked me that some of the recruiter from a new MLB machine learning based startup wants to talk to you. Just talk to them over a Zoom call. So I had a discussion with the senior manager, and then there was a CTO. So I was talking to them. It was a friendly discussion. I thought it's just a friendly discussion around ML and everything around it. And at the end of the September, they offered me an internship. So they offered me a role in Ireland, but the only case was I was supposed to travel to Ireland. And again, it was like I said, if it's hybrid or maybe it's I can work from here, it's fine. Otherwise, if you want to travel like once, that would be fine for me, but not every single month. Or if you want me to be in person, that's not possible for me as of now. But if something comes up in the future, I'll surely do that. So that's again amazing. Came up from that dimension. Yeah.
But that's like a great opportunity, like, you know, getting hold of a different environment in two different countries. You still get to get that exposure and learn from others. And that's really amazing, like that you still, you know, if you were in US and you still were connecting with those folks just to, you know, be in the process, just to learn more with that learning mindset. That's really amazing. I really wanted to let everyone know, like, if you have applied to different colleges or maybe different countries, it's good that you stay connected because we're still into this hybrid mode and internet just connects us. So if nothing, you just learn a lot of things from different other countries and people working there, because everywhere, everything, the lifestyle and everything is different. So you never know what you can learn from there, what things they are devising there and it's not yet here, or maybe here but not there, and you can be a filler for that side.
Yeah, so that, adding to that point, to the great suggestion, I would say it's a good habit also, because maybe they have some opportunities, maybe not at that time, maybe, but what if they know someone in your country that where you are in currently, maybe they know someone, they can refer you, maybe they can write a recommendation for you or something, right? So the possibilities are and you just need to harvest those opportunities, trust your instinct and move forward, because networking is a key. Apart from good being good at tech is the one thing, but doing these things a lot to be a successful candidate or the employer, you need to do so many things. You need to take so many things in parallel to be a successful candidate or land up an interview or a job. So these are the bunch of things we are supposed to do apart from tech.
Networking is the biggest key here to everything. And I would say professors have like a great network. And they could be the best ones to come handy. I have realized this all through my master's degree. My professor had like a huge network back in Europe or in Australia. I was working as an RA under her. And I was exposed to so many people while working with her that, you know, if, for instance, I want to go start something at Europe or any other places where I've worked with folks, I could just touch base with them and I could land up somewhere, maybe at least not at, you know, a line zero, but somewhere. So I would just say professors have a huge contact. Just be close to them. It's good. You learn a lot of things and network any day the key.
Yeah, even if you get in touch with professors, not even in your single university. So I know when I came in, so there were so many people who were looking for the on-campus jobs. So I asked them, it's just not about the on-campus job, just go for the RA position. So they said in their department, mostly were from the computer science and the ITM. So they told me that there are not much enough energy opportunities at their department. So what I did, I asked them, do one thing, just go to the IT website, look for the professors who got the funding. That was the one criteria. The second criteria was just read through their profile. What if they are doing something related to you, irrespective of whether they are from computer science, civil engineering, or whatever department. So they came up with a list of 4 or 5 professors, and all of them went to meet, and all 4 of them got the RAship. Now, one of them is working under professor who is in civil engineering, 2 in the biomedical, and 1 is working in the ITM. All of them got the RAship. Professors, all those professors never published it anywhere on the portal or the internet. They simply went on to meet them. After a good discussion, maybe a couple of rounds of discussion, they got it.
That's nice. Yeah. That's like a good way. Yeah.
Yeah. So even at your university, it's not just your department, your classmate. It's about the thing. We have to think from a global perspective, a global mindset. That's why we say, no, we need to have a global perspective or think like a global citizen. So even at your university, go to meet the different people from different departments, different administratives, and you never know what works for you.
Yeah, totally. I get that, because there are instances where your department may not have that funding or
Yeah.
not have those many projects as compared to others. And maybe due to lesser exposure, you don't know that. But yeah, that's a good point as well. So point
Yeah.
number two to be noted here. So moving forward with the last question before you landed here in US in 2022, and that's the biggest chunk where we discuss about the visa experience. And we
Yeah.
know for US, you have to go through a lot of paperwork, the F1 visa, and you know, that takes a lot of time. Everyone knows when post COVID, it was like a hell for all the students to at least get appointments, to sit for the interviews,
Yeah.
and then fly back to their cities wherever they were flying into United States. So how was it at your end? And I know it was peak time. I understand 2022 would be really challenging with visas because I know
Yeah.
that as well.
Actually, for me, the plan was it was 3 days of discussion with my family. They said I should do it. So the decision was made on 9th of January 2022 that I should go for the master's. And for 15th or 19th of January 2022, I booked for my TOEFL. I got my score. I started applying. So since already most of the universities were already closed, so I got these bunch of options. I applied. So since, as you have mentioned, that we are just coming out of the COVID time. So there were restrictions. It was hard to get the visa slots. So even I was struggling. So my university was supposed to start from 22nd of August. I got the visa date for the 3rd of August. So it was again a pinpoint for me, like I have to wait for that longer period. Then I had these some other nations as well. For example, for Australia, we need to have a physical, that too in Chandigarh. I'm talking about India. So, and for the other two universities, I need to send them a confirmation because we have to deposit some amount as a confirmation amount. So I was juggling with all those things, which one should I do? So what I did, I dropped an email to the professor again, because I was in touch with him at UNSW. In Australia, I told them, professor, this is the case, what should I do? And there was some other paperwork, they were pending my part. So he said, relax, I'm here, and I understand, I'll look into it. So he waived it off from his end, and I wasn't supposed to pay outrightly. So that one seat was confirmed. That likewise I did for the Kings. So the one another way, I didn't have to pay that. So once I got to know that I don't have to pay that amount, my seats are saved with those universities, I could focus on the US. Now coming back to the US, so I every single day I used to look into it. It sometimes it's sleepless night because we have to look for the slots here and there, because we have so many people coming from the US, that too in the fall semester. So luckily, I would say luckily, I got 3rd of August, because some of the people I know who came with me, they got the dates up to 26th of August also. They have to get the supplementary documents from the university. For example, it's fine with the university that they are coming late. So that is the another case. But for me, I got the date. Once the visa interview was done, I got everything done. So it just checking the list, if I'm taking everything that I got to know from the seniors over here or the people who are already in the US, that everything I'm keeping, those are the basic utensils or the necessary equipments that I'm supposed to take. So I just make sure that I had a list. I'm checking every single point before leaving, every single documentation I have, every single thing that they have mentioned, I checked it. And so once it was done, it was a win-win situation. And once I got that, I updated those professors from that university's professor, as I have mentioned, because you have to be true to them. I initially told them that this is my intent. So once I got it, I told them, professor, I'm moving ahead with this, and I'm looking forward to be in touch with you and learning more from your end. So that's what the entire 4, 5, or 6 months looked like.
That would have been stressful. I can, think about that. But that's great that there were professors from different other universities, and probably counting that
yeah.
different colleges, different countries, but still they were supporting you. And I'm really thankful,
yeah.
Grateful for those activities that people
yeah.
are doing and helping you, and still knowing that you're trying for US.
Yeah.
But still they were okay.
It's yeah. It's that's what it doesn't work in a single day or single week, a single month.
Yeah.
It's like maybe months of networking,
the relationship
trying to be
building.
Yeah, building. It's like any relationship building kind of activity. So once you build that kind of relationship with honesty and truthfulness, they believe in you. Once they believe in you, it would be easy.
I agree. And you know, when we, because we are just talking about in the context of networking and everything, and I just wanted to quote it here that if we say networking is the key, it is the key, as you can see in the examples as well, that, you know, people sitting in different universities across countries are ready to, you know, sponsor you with your seat charges. And they're not just nominal charges. They are good amount in their own currencies that, you know, you also have to think twice that, okay, for example, I paid for my college seat was $250. So if you are back in India, $250 is a big deal for
us to
pay for a seat. And when you're not sure that if you'll take that seat or if you go somewhere else or what is the scene, and when you don't know that you'll be getting that money back or not. So that was really great. And thank you for sharing that instance. Maybe everyone would take opportunity to stay connected with the folks so that you never know when things could work in your favor, or maybe your help could work with them as well. So with that being said, and we discuss about the visa and how things went by. So now you're all good, landed in US. How were your initial days? Any kind of logistic activities? How was the transitioning phase? I know it would have been really overwhelming, but if you can talk about it, how was it for you?
Okay, so whenever it because when I was in India, or anyone in India, so we feel there will be cultural shocks. There'll be this kind of environment. There'll be changes here and there. But I would say, I don't know, I was lucky enough. I was lucky enough that I didn't get to go through it, because I, in the beginning itself, I made good connections here. Those good connections turned out to be very great friends. So I'm lucky enough and humble enough that I have those bunch of people I can trust on for every single thing. That is the first thing. Then, since I already knew some of the professors in this university, so I know as soon as I landed, and then the very next day I went on to meet them. They were happy to see me here in person, because I already know them for the last couple of years, maybe more. So it was like I knew people at the university. I knew people who I can trust with. So in the beginning, a few things could be challenging, because you have to look into so many different paperworks. And then you have to look into your bank accounts. You have to go through some government documentation, start your school as well. So it's a bunch of everything. But if you have a good connection, if you have a bunch of people who you can trust, who are ready to move along with you, it gets easy. So that's why I'm humble enough and thankful for Chicago, because I didn't even expect in my wildest dream that it could be that easy.
Yeah, like with my experience, like today sitting with the sixth person here as part of the podcast, and I would say everyone had few or the other issues that they would discuss at the transitioning phase. It was difficult, it was overwhelming. But for you, I know it has been difficult. I know it has been overwhelming. But yeah, this comes out to be handy that you know those folks, you maintain those relationships, you talk, you network, that one day those things really work out for you. And you think at least you have a family here and stuff like that. So that's a great thing.
So it was, for me at least, it was smooth. So I would say, if you are watching this and you are coming from India, I would say get in touch with the people who you can trust on. Get in touch with the professors at the university and make a good quarterly relationship with them. Be professional, be polite, and keep it very professional. And get in touch with them. Get to ask them about themselves, their research work, and ask them good questions. Because sometimes we don't know what is a good question. So I would like to pinpoint on this for a minute. So let's say if we are talking in this podcast, so since it's focused on the university visa and everything else, so if I have to ask something to someone, the good question would be, what was your experience with the universities, or what was your process? I won't ask her about her hobbies. So asking about the hobbies is not a good question at this moment. But if I'm catching up with her over a coffee outside this podcast, I would ask her about the hobbies or what she likes to do. So that is the good question at that point, but not here. So please understand what is a good question and ask it.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because that's really important. Because as a starter, it's nothing that you're sitting face to face with the person, but it's actually you are talking to them via emails or LinkedIn. And how you talk, like for example, if I'm talking to Abhishek, if I'd say anything, he would understand, okay, what I mean. But in emails or in written things, they could be deceptive. You don't know how the person reads that message, or how he takes it, or are you being too polite, or are you being like just borderline polite? You don't know, but you just have to like curate yourself in a way that it's like a teacher-student relationship, and you put it up in that way. we try to know more about the work, but don't be greedy at the same time. Just loosen up.
Also nowadays, even today, I was interacting with two of the companies with their HRs, and they told me nowadays people, if they are dropping a request on the LinkedIn, they are simply doing the ChatGPT. They said since they are in the industry for over 10 years, maybe 5-6 years, they know how to read the ChatGPT messages now. So please don't send them at least a ChatGPT message. Even if you're doing it for the process optimization, make sure you are editing them and customize as per the human, as per you.
And I would still say, if you want to curate your messages in a professional manner, probably you can just put up like, I want to write these things, ChatGPT, please rephrase them in a professional manner. Probably those will be your words, just put up in a better sentence. And then again, you could just edit or reword them.
Yeah.
But if you put up your words and not just write a welcome email for the HR of for this
room. Because
that would be,
they know.
Exactly. And to be honest, now everyone knows, actually. Everyone gets to understand, okay, this is how ChatGPT writes, because ChatGPT becomes professional as possible. So, yeah, that's the thing. But I would say networking, we talked about a lot about networking and how it eases off things. Is a big example here that, you know, if you network with people at the right time, things would really, you know, work out in your manner and things would fall into the place. So thanks for sharing that. And I understand those were your smoother times when you knew people, when you knew professors, things were good. But considering it was a 2-year course, and, you know, obviously with college and with the degree, you have a lot of assignments, a lot of test work, coursework, everything goes day to day. And we also know that there is also a thing on our head that we need to get out, get a job, get placed somewhere, and, you know, everything of that sort. So I just wanted to ask, how are you managing, or how did you manage from all this while in terms of the job scenario, the layoffs and all that structuring along with your coursework, and how's it going for you?
Oh, that's again a good question. That is the question that even my fellow mates, the juniors who came to the college, even some of my professors keep on asking me, how do you manage so many things at once? So I'll tell you the other things. So I was part of 5 clubs. I was the vice president of one of the clubs called Bridges International and on campus. I was a senior executive member of one of the club, Hockapel. The data science head of the Google Developer Student Club, that is global entity. I'm part of World Business Chicago, that has a collaboration with IIT. I was their campus ambassador. Apart from that, I was the LinkedIn mentor and the career relationship builder with the career services. So I was working on these roles. I had 9 credits to handle. And after the first 2 semesters, I had the internship also. So combine these 4 or 5 things, the internship, my 9 credits. And on top of it, I added the cherry, that was my top mate. So I started mentoring people, helping them out with so many things that they have doubt. So I had these bunch of things to do in a single day. So how do I manage it? So there's a Japanese metric called Kaizen. So I believe in it. So the metric says, if you can divide things in a simple task, then go by the priority of those subtasks. For example, let's say if I have some assignment pending, because since 3 courses, we have assignments, we have the quizzes, we have midterm, finals, projects, and everything around it. And since I'm part of the clubs, so I have some credibility and accountability and responsibility towards the activities, because they have monthly events. And so managing everything comes handy. So you have to look into, if let's say if I have some assignment next week, due next week, then for this week, what I'll do, I'll try to complete that assignment on the priority, because this is what I came here for. So I will first focus on those assignments or the quizzes. So that would be my first priority. Second priority would be if there is some club, if I'm being part of, and if there is no other person is available to handle that. So that will be my prime concern to look into it, that activity. Then all the activities, for example, let's say if I have somebody booked a session with me on TalkMate for something, or if they are needing some help. So that would be my third priority. At least I can help them on priority. So if you take the ownership, if you take the responsibility, and you have accountability, and you have believe in integrity, So if you have these kinds of ethos, work ethics, so you can do it easily, because at the end of the day, if you can help someone with something, you'll feel good about it. So that what gives you happiness. And if you're able to complete the assignment on time and get good grades, so again, you have some happiness. So it's like mixing all the things together. If you get, let's say 90% success out of 10, 100, so it's a win-win situation for you. Other 10%, it's not just a failure, it's a learning from you. So I was able to learn from those things that I was missing on. I was able to pinpoint. I like to do it as old school way because I can show. So this is my, I don't use the calendars. So this kind of calendars I use. So I wrote it down.
I have the same. Like I do still like the journaling. So I have like the journals I'll write every day. Okay, this I have planned for this week and this I did
today. I do the same thing. Do the same thing. So I like to do it
everything. So it really helps you. I am same, not at the person, you know, where I just use tablets or one notebook. Yeah. It's difficult for me. I'm good at taking notes and it's all hard copy for me. Soft copy is worse.
Because we may have multiple email IDs. Multiple email IDs have different events or invites. So it's not easy to handle. Sometimes we do sync, but I believe in the old school way. So that's how I was doing it. And also I can mark the priority, or I can highlight them simply with red, green, or the yellow markers. This is on the priority for this day, so that I do not accompany with some other tasks. So if you have that kind of systematic mindset and you know the time management, it would be easy. I still don't find hard to do any of these, and I'm not pissing off any of these. Though I have resigned from a couple of organizations because I'm graduating and there's a lot much to do. So I have resigned from a couple of because I was thinking that I'm not able to put much more efforts. Mm-hmm. So I resigned from two of them, but I'm still part of three and internship, and still I have 9 credits to do. So it's at the end of the day, you need to have the time management because if you're doing the masters, you are answerable to yourself, not your parents or anybody else, because at the end of the day, most of the time, it's our decision to be here. Yeah. And apart from your study, you have to do this because I have interacted with so many HRs, the technical persons. That's what I do on my weekends, go for the coffees and talk to the people and do the networking. So over all those of interaction for the last 2 years, I got to know it's not just about the tech. It's mostly 60% your work profile get highlighted through the soft skills. And so if you're doing something out of the class, extracurricular, it may be a boon for you at the end of the day, or the discussion, or if it's an interview, or if you're trying to sparkle in the bunch of heap of the resume that they receive. So you have to do it.
Yeah, and in any ways, I also consider, like, I'm on the same board because I did a lot at my student time, and I would just want to say, you really miss your student life, because a lot of these things that you're able to pursue at such a university level is what we miss. Like, I do miss it at my corporate life, because there was a lot of ease on those ends, and when you come here, it's altogether a different life. You would have been seeing it in the internship time. But I would also like to say, obviously, the first priority is coming for the master's. That's what you're here for. That's for the degree and for the education that you want. But apart from that, you also want to upskill yourself. You know, there are times when socially you feel a lot introvert, socially you feel a lot disconnected. But once you get through all these things, you get a lot of exposure. You get a lot of people like you. And you interact with them, and that's how, you know, university activities and everything takes place. So that I would say, and I would totally support, that these things do come handy. And if not, you're mentoring someone that, like you are doing, but at times you also learn a lot of new things as well. And I've gone through a lot of interviews last year where, apart from the tech things, I really do get asked about a lot of things. Like, for example, there was a match this weekend. What team were you supporting? And, you know, there comes like moments where people think like, okay, is she not socially social? She's just more like nerd or geek, and she just wants the job. No, we want somebody who's like an all-rounder and who likes everything. So whenever people do walk up to me, I do tell them these instances that probably just see in your city, if there was some tournament, if there were some matches and your city was representing it, and, you know, people could just come up, or maybe... Just like the recent news, they just talk about, because here in US, it's an icebreaker thing that, you know, everyone tries to bring it up. And if you're not inclusive, it gets really a bad picture out with everyone, because
yeah,
at the
it
end of
won't
the
be
day,
a culture match or culture fit that we
correct.
say.
So they really want somebody who can fit into the company culture and everything. And you know, the things you talked about, integrity, accountability, responsibility, those are actually the aspects that we get hold at work site. But if we start inculcating those things at the degree level as well, you actually learn a lot and you're not at all at a losing end, that you could just lose a lot of things. It's just the college activities. It's not something that you're representing a country somewhere.
Yeah.
If you lose, things would happen or such. So that's also a great thing. And probably we'll be talking a little later, like 5-10 minutes later, about your community, things outside of your college and inside of your college, and how one can actually be part of it. But just wanting to ask, like, you're interning right now, so if you would like to talk more about the organization, the role, and how it matches up with the curriculum that you are doing, because you'll be graduating soon.
Okay, so the first thing first, so as we know, there is economic slowdown, a market is in a bad situation, so getting one single opportunity takes a lot of things from you. So there are lots of things that need to go in parallel before you get to land in one internship opportunity or one full-time opportunity. So it's a match of, let's say, your LinkedIn, your resume, your elevator pitch, your extracurricular activities, and how you are able to tell it in the best way possible, the art of storytelling, apart from your tech skills. If you have these bunch of things, then add to it your networking skills, how you can communicate effectively, how you can speak your mind, the thing that you want to speak. So if you can club it all together, then you can go ahead to apply for the internship. So currently I'm working with the Chicago Transit Authority as a data analyst, where I get to analyze the data to solve day-to-day problem. And the best thing is, you see that you're working on something that every single commuter is using to move from source A to destination B, and you just feel good about it. And talking about the CTA, the work environment is very chill. I just love it to be there. My managers are good. The direct manager and my senior managers are very chill about it. Even if, because we come here with the Indian mindset, sometimes I get too much into the work. They will tell me, you are an intern, behave like an intern. You are not a full-time professional over here. So just do your work and go back home, enjoy. Because you have, and sometimes they will ask me to take a leave while you are coming to the office, whether it's good, just go outside. These are the good places to be out. These are the good places to eat. So they will give me a bunch of, so it's like a, not as, again, I'm humble enough for the Chicago, because I never imagined that I'll get these bunch of things all together. So good friends, a good company to work for, a good manager who supports you in every single task. And it's like, everything is just magical and very dreamy. So that is my experience with CTA and as a data analyst. And it totally matches with my curriculum, as you asked, because I'm analyzing the data. I'm using the tech stack like Python, SQL, Amazon Redshift, Power BI, a little of Excel. So all these of things that I have learned at IIT, even in my past experiences as well. But once you go on to some industry to work for, you got to apply all these things that you have done theoretically in practical. So it's like you're getting your hands dirty in the real life. So it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah. That's amazing. And if I may ask, like, if anyone's part of IIT and they want to, like, apply for Chicago Transit Authority, like, apply as an intern, what process did you follow? If you can quickly share with us that as well, like, in a high-level manner.
Okay. So, since I mentioned the market was tough and I was a little late in my process, because I was supposed to start in the month of maybe August or September, that was a high time. But I was very busy in networking. I was busy in working on my LinkedIn resume, everything else around it. So probably I started with around January 15, 2023. So I won't recommend that, because I was little late in my approach. But still, since I was little late, I was able to apply to 115 roles and I got 12 internships. Yeah. So... because I was able to fix so many things at the ground level, once I believed that the approach that I'm going to use, it's metric and it matches what I'm aspiring to be. I started applying. I made a list. Since market is in recession, I made a list of recession-proof industries. For example, healthcare, hospitality, real estate, and the automobile automation, and then gaming industry, transportation, logistics, warehousing, all these bunch of industries as I just mentioned, these are mostly recession-proof. They are working in the time of COVID. They're still working. So they were mostly hiring. So these were the prime area where I applied. And every single company, when I used to apply, I used to make sure that I'm connecting with 5 people from each company. So let's say there is a company ABC. So I used to get in touch with the 2 people who are available in Chicago, 1 or 2 people who are the same, who has the same profile as me, data professional, and 1 person who is the HR or someone, or maybe who's from a home country. So I used to get in touch with them. If I'm saying I used to get in touch with them, it's not that easy, because what I used to do, I simply used to go to their profile. I used to read it for the 10 seconds, 15 seconds, sometimes 20. I just do get some keywords. If I get to know they are good at sports, or they are liking something related to sports, or maybe they are liking something on the AI side or something like that, I used to get some unique points about them. I used to craft. So let's say someone is a recruiter working at the company XYZ. So if I go through her profile, I get to know, oh, she likes, let's say she is into the environment and sustainable or sustainable things. So I would say, hi, Saman, I'm working in a project where I'm using the sustainable technology to reduce the carbon footprint. And I got to know that you are into the same domain and you have that kind of industrial experience. So I'm looking forward to connect and learn more from you. Kind regards, Abhishek. So this is very dedicated and focused message that is directly to someone. So if she is reading it, she will get to know that these are the bunch of the messages I'm reading, which are like typical. And this is something that's very dedicated to me, where I believe. So she will accept. And then we have to build a communication from there. So that's what I used to do. I'm not saying that you have to do it for every single company, but if the company is matching your profile, they are hiring the students and they are the recession proof, some other filters you can apply. I'm seeing my approach, you can filter it according to you. So you have to apply these filters and try it out. So that was my approach. I applied for 115, got 12 internships.
That's amazing. And that's something I really learned from you as well, like how you can, you know, go through conversations as well. This so far I haven't done that, you know, I go through the profile, I find a unique one. Probably I start up more with coffee conversations of the field or anything, but not something specific to someone's field. But that's a good catch. I'll take it as a learning for myself. Yeah. And I'll do it as well, and I'll see how things change, because who would not want that, you know, somebody who has just scanned their profile, found something, and then discussing on that, and then probably coming on to the point of, okay, you're working on this, I'm interested, my tech stack are this. Probably not jumping to the main conversation would be a killer rather than going through.
Yeah. Or for example, let's say if you are in cybersecurity, if someone is listening, maybe a year from now, 4 years from now, you will be like a middle level employee. Right. So if they're looking into your profile, if they simply come up, hi, someone, there's some role in opportunity in your organization, would you please take me through it? Or maybe can you recommend me? So it's like more or less you won't focus on, but if someone comes to your profile and says, hi, someone, as an aspiring cybersecurity professional, I got to know that you have that much of industrial experiences and you're working on the same tech that I'm learning theoretically at my university. Can you please tell me more about it? So yeah. This is something that I'll be interested in telling.
Yeah. And this is more of the person really wants that help rather than, you know, just talking about random things or you know, anything of that sort. That, so I guess that's what you said in the starting as well, right? You know, put down the good questions, like put down the right questions that's needed, because that's how it helps you. It may take some time, but you know, eventually it helps you, you know, the personalized messages and you know how you use the emails fruitfully is something really important, because
I call it my own 80-20 rule. So if you're starting the conversation, 80% things should be about them, not about you. Don't ask any favor indirectly or directly in the beginning itself. So in the beginning, ask them good questions. So 80% would be about them, 20% about you. Once they get to know that this particular individual is interested, he or she is very good at it. So now they will be, once they are interested, they will start asking. Then that's the high time for you to show your effective communication and the arts of storytelling.
Yeah, because maybe it's not you who comes back for the job question. Probably they only ask you that I saw your banner and I see your experience and you could apply on this link. So it's more like your job has been done by them. So, you know, I really support that thing. And I guess everyone should start doing that and use the messages and the words wisely, because you do get lesser words if you're not connected to the person. And you should write to the point what is needed, and then probably that person would really respond back. Or if not, it's okay, that's fine. So I also used to keep like personalized messages, like for people I'm connected to, for people I'm not connected to. So, you know, you keep two sorts of messages and, you know, you shorten the length so that at least you get someone's attention and then you start the conversation. But yeah, you were saying something.
Yeah, so since you were mentioning the template, so initially I used to have the templates when I was new at this technique. Mm-hmm. So once you master it by continuously doing it, because initially you may not get the responses and you feel like it's not working, but you have to do it. It's not about the intensity, it's about consistency. It's not like you have to do 10, 20 messages single day, even one or two messages a single day for next couple of months is consistency. So believe in the consistency in place of intensity. So you start, once you start doing it, you don't need a template at the end, because then you'll master this technique and you can simply look at the profile for the 5 seconds. You can draft a good message. And sometimes if you want, I can focus more on that if you have time. Okay. So for example, sometimes even if we are very good at it, we don't get the responses. So then I crafted one technique that now works 100% for me. If not 100%, I can say 95%. So what I do is, let's say I dropped a message to someone and she accepted my invite, looked into my message, but didn't reply me back. That's fair enough. Maybe she is busy. So what I'll do, I'll simply go to her profile after maybe a couple of days, unfollow her and follow her back. What this does, so she will receive a LinkedIn notification that this individual named Abhishek has followed you. So she will remember, oh, this individual sent me a message like a couple of days back. Now he is following me back. Okay, so maybe you feel like replying me back, but what if you don't? Well, then what I'll do, maybe of next 3-4 days, I'll go to your profile again. I'll look into your skill set, read your experience, and maybe I'll endorse you for a couple of skills that you are very good at and that I can get to know from your experiences. So I'll endorse you for those 2 skills. Again, she will receive a message in the LinkedIn that I endorse her for the couple of skills. Then she will be in some kind of moral dilemma that this individual dropped me a message, followed me back, endorsed me a couple of skills. I think I should reply to him. So she may reply, but what if she doesn't? Then another, the rule could be, if I come across some articles on the internet about cybersecurity, let's say how they are using the penetration testing to get to know about new cyber threats, or if I come across something else on the internet, I'll simply share on the LinkedIn and ask, hey, hi, someone, I got learned from this particular article or the journal, I got to learn about these bullet points A, B, and C. What do you think about it? And I'll tag her. Again, I'm forcing her into the social or the moral dilemma to reply me back. Or maybe if I come across some article on the LinkedIn, I'll tag, hi, someone, what do you think about this article? So this is like you are telling them that you are curious about them. You cannot do it with everyone, but if there's a company which you are really passionate for, you can do it. And if you do it, you have to be in a constant hustle, but it works. So by the end of the day, if they are completely into that moral dilemma, or you have created a moral boundary around them, they are bound to reply, because at the end of the day, even they are human. But don't overdo it.
Complete cycle of psychological playoff.
Yeah.
I suppose it has worked, because you're being so confident with that. And I know it's more of, you're not putting strain onto that person that you have to reply their message, but somehow you are letting them to be part of any activity and trying to have that conversation. So that person is, you know, may out of curiosity come back to you.
Okay. Yeah. Hi. It's not, yeah. We know each it's other not, and, if, yeah. if, Yeah, it's not if we didn't reply, I'll drop some message again and again. So it's not the approach, it's the opposite. You are indirectly telling them that you are interested in what they are doing. Maybe if let's say they reply, now this is the high moment you should say, I'm really interested in what you're doing. Can you please talk more about it? So let's say if you talk with them for the couple of times or maybe more, then you can politely ask them, can you please mentor me? Because I'm aspiring to be a great cybersecurity data or the software engineer or whatever role you are aspiring to be. You can simply ask them. And if they get ready to mentor you, that's a good case for you because you are getting a mentor for free, that too from the industry who can guide you for everything, your single things. So that's how you can get a mentor for you.
I agree. And I guess everyone has their own way of interacting with new folks. Yeah. And somehow you want to get into that conversation. So yeah, that's one thing. I guess everyone's learning from you a lot, Abhishek. And we'll just move ahead. And I just wanted to pinpoint to the last question that we were discussing about the community work. So if you could let the folks know more about the in-house community work, how you reached out to your college, student clubs or the organizations or the board positions that you could gain, and how did you went off outside, like how was LinkedIn or any other thing been helpful to you to be part of other activities?
Okay, so for example, at Illinois Tech we have around 185 student clubs that are completely run by the student, sponsored by the IIT in terms of the funding, space and every single thing around it. So I'm part of currently I'm part of like Google Developer Student Club as a data science head, and there's one music and karaoke group. I never learned the music, but I'm the executive member of it. I'll tell you how. Then I'm part of the career services as the LinkedIn mentor and the career relationship build. And then I was the vice president of one of the organization. So these are the organization that I was part of internally. So when I came to the US, so I used to go to the campus every single day just to be, because I used to be introvert. Frankly, I was an introvert in my undergrad. If you ask my undergrad friends, they will tell you that I was an introvert. The same thing if I ask my master's friend here, which are good, they'll tell you, no, this cannot be true. So there's a stark difference between these two. And the day I came here, I thought whatever mistakes I have done in my undergrad, I'm not going to repeat it. So I used to go to the every single event, irrespective of which country club it is. For example, we have clubs from every single country. So they used to organize their cultural events, or if there are tech events, extracurricular, I simply used to go. Initially, I used to alone. But then when I made some good friends, we used to go in group. So we used to network, talk to them, and you to ask them if what they are doing, what they are not doing. So once you get in touch with them, they sometimes feel like, oh, this particular individual is showing the interest in the club. So that's how I got into my first club, and that directly into the executive board position without being the member. So one of the time she emailed me, Abhishek, I think you can be a great addition to the club. Would you be part of it? I outrightly said yes. That's how I got to be in the vice president and the executive board member of three clubs. And apart from that, I was part of Google Sprint Developer Club that I started this semester in the January. That I got because through one of the professor, again, the professor I knew before even coming here. So he recommended the lead of that group, Google Student Developer Club, and I was friend with him. So he asked me and I said yes. Then since I was part of so many other people from the university, apart from my professors, classmates from the administrative chambers, people who are in career services, different departments, management departments, I used to simply go greet them, or if I'm meeting them in the lobby somewhere around, I simply used to greet them, ask about the weather or what they did on the weekend. So these are the good questions on those times. So I simply used to ask them. So when I used to interact, so that's how I got into as a campus ambassador for World Business Chicago. So one of the people from the career services at my university, he recommended my name to that organization. So World Business Chicago is a huge thing because they have the collaboration with 160 organizations across the US, including companies like Microsoft, LinkedIn, and everything. So he recommended my name for that. So I had the interview and they selected me. So I was working as a campus ambassador where every single event related to them, or the tech event, or the events like Lollapalooza or everything else around it was free for me as a student. I can simply show that I am the campus ambassador, I can go. So these are the perks of being the part of the clubs, and it works. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't, but make sure if you're willing to be a part of some clubs, that I recommend that you should do, so that you can tell the employers that you are not just sticking to the classes, you are doing something out of the class, extracurricular. So just go to those events, talk to their event team, subscribe to their newsletter, keep on meeting them, and you never know. It's at the end, it's all about the networking. So it's a good habit, and develop it, because it will help you later in your experiences at the US, because you will feel more confident that you can talk to anybody anytime, and you can take the conversation and you can move the conversation. Because sometimes what we feel is, especially as an Indian, that we don't know how to start the conversation. Even if we know, we don't know how to take along or how to build a good communication and then a good relationship through that conversation. So we are weak at it. And once we admit it, we can work on it and move on.
Yeah, that is why it becomes really a thing that apart from the tech things, you also know something around you, whatever is happening, the social activities, so that at least that's a good icebreaker, a conversation starter. And then you can come to the main context of the conversation, and that could be more of like the greetings thing that you do.
Yeah.
And you have to really excel into that when you are short of topics, or maybe when you're not aware of things, like when you're not aware of maybe a football match or a rugby match. So you'd not be able to talk more about it. But if you start knowing maybe basics of it, maybe at least follow just the Chicago team, just the Sixers team, and talk about it. Probably that would be like a good conversation starter. And with all these extracurricular activities, maybe in campus, off campus, conversation is the most, like, the most.
And for, let's say, if you don't, let's say this is your first day in Chicago, and let's say even first day or first week, it's same, and you don't know how to, what are the teams playing here, what are the local teams, you can simply go, this is a technique I use most even in the interviews. Yes, in the interviews as well. So if I'm meeting someone for the first time, I would say, oh, that's a nice shirt, where did you buy it? Or that's a nice coat, or that's a nice shoe pair, or something on those grounds. So this is a good icebreaker. So you can start on this point, and if you say something, or you can admire someone, they feel good about it. And then you can ask, where did you buy it? Can you please recommend me a good pair of shoes or good pair of shirt, or can you recommend me a good store nearby, because I'm just new here. So that's a good icebreaker. And once you can break the ice, you can then talk about anything.
Yeah, I agree to that point, and that's bang on, right? And it has worked always. So I know we've talked about a lot of things, about how you started things, how you came here, how you're doing things. So I just wanted to ask, like, what are a couple of roles that you are available for after your graduation that you are willing to work for? And, you know, I know you're still in the job market, so just wanting you to talk more about it.
So as I mentioned, I'm majoring in data science and currently working as a data analyst. So this is what I belong to. This is what I love to do. And so the roles that I'm more interested in, it's as a data scientist, data engineer, data analyst, analytics intern, machine learning engineer, or maybe BI, BA, or anything where there is a data, you can find me and you can hire me. It is as simple as that. So it's like, do what I love and I love what I do. So data is everywhere around me. I like to get my hands dirty. So if you have something on data, I can help you to sort it out and get data-driven business insights.
Okay, that's great. So I just wanted to pause here for a moment and talk to everyone watching it. Or maybe if you know someone who is hiring people in the roles of data scientist, data engineer, data analyst, or a few others that just Abhishek mentioned, it would be a good help that if you could reach out to him and see his tech skills, see what all things that he has worked on outside of his degree. And probably that could be a good starter for you to check back with his records and then have him for the interviews or anything. So we'd have his LinkedIn profile in the description below. And then that could be one-stop shop where you can just talk to him, talk what his aspirations are, or how it could just in line with your organization's skill set as well. So yeah, that is something that I wanted to put out, and that could really help him with cracking his first job. So yeah, that would be amazing if something works out here and somebody, you know, reaches out there. But As we're closing off with the podcast, I just want to ask you two more things quickly to wrap this up. One is the certificate that really, you know, got my attention from your profile, the one that you did from Harvard University. So if you could talk more about it, is it just you did it independently or it's part of the coursework? Or you mentioned there were a lot of other coursework that were associated to B schools or other things as well. So if you can.
Yeah, sure. So again, I was in touch with some professor who knew someone at the Harvard. So he recommended me that course when I came here in fall. So since you have to pay some fees because it's from Harvard, they do a professional certificate. So initially it was free for me. It got all waived off. So I started it in December 2022. So I'm still pursuing it. So it gives you the freedom that you can complete it on your own pace. So probably by the end of this year, I'm planning to complete it. So that's how I got it. And it's from the Harvard. They will tell you the skill set, how to use R for the statistical purposes, how to get data-driven insights using R, probability, and some of the machine learning analysis, and everything else around it. So that's how I got to know it. And at the end of the completion, I'll get a certificate from them. And for the certificate, I have to pay some amount. That is not a big deal. So that is about it.
That's really great. And I just want to stress it over here again that networking is really a key and it can really get you with great opportunities. And this is one example that, again, Abhishek just mentioned to us that, you know, you can get hold of other programs and, you know, Harvard is a thing. So, you know, why not do it from there and get the certificate? And that would add more to your profile when you sit back anywhere.
Yeah.
And with that being said, I just want you to let us know any sort of advice to any new joiners who are trying to get into the college for their master's degree or any other degree. So any parting advice that you wanted to give through?
I would say be aware. So once you are aware of what's happening around you, you'll be curious. So second step would be curious. So once you are curious, you have to be aware. Once you are aware, you will be curious. So once you're curious, you'll start learning about it. So once you start doing it, you will develop that kind of attitude. So this is a three-step process, as simple as that, that can lead to you towards the success. So be aware, be curious, and develop that kind of attitude.
That's great. And I guess that would really help you. And with coming to a new country, it's okay to not know everything and try to make yourself accustomed to new things. Try to ask those silly questions that, okay, I don't know this. Yeah. Start learning about new things, because that's what the thing here is. The communication, networking is the key. And without that, it's dead end for you. If you're not into it, you are totally tagged up as a nerd and bored person or stuff like that. So, and it's fun to actually be inclusive in a lot of student activities or outside of campus activities as well, because it's pretty open here. You get lots of things, and with networking you get to, you know, wave off on a lot of money matters as well, like we heard, for a lot of things. So really, communication is the key. And with that advice of being aware, curious, and then head to what you want to do is something really a crux. And you know, every strategy, every person's strategy could be different. But yeah, this is how you can at least start and then devise something for yourself. So thank you so much, Abhishek, for sharing all those things. I know out of all the things you could give ITSP Magazine and the podcast this time to share all your insights. And it would really be a one-stop shop for everyone to, you know, watch this video, know your experience, and then get back to you for more questioning. I hope so. Your top mate is flooded. And you get a lot of emails, a lot of requests. That would be like our win here. But thank you so much again for being on the podcast.
No worries. Thank you for inviting me. And that was a sound discussion. I think so many people will look into it and get some insights and get the strategy and craft it from themselves.
Certainly. And today, I guess a lot of strategies were shown from your side, and it was told, and it's no more a secret what you were doing at your end, and people could actually do things with all the zeal to manage a lot of things. So Thank you so much again. And with that being said, thank you so much, everyone who was watching this podcast. And I hope things were helpful here. And we'll have all the details about his profile, all his handles down in the description. And you could just readily click on it and be a part of his network as well. So thank you so much, everyone. Bye.
Insights, solutions, and networking all come together at RSA Conference. Join a global cybersecurity community at rsaconference.com/ITSPMAG24.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Off the Record, a student abroad podcast with Saman Fatima, part of the ITSP Magazine podcast network. If you learned something new and this conversation made you think, then add this show to your favorite podcast player. Subscribe to the ITSP Magazine YouTube channel and share the ITSP Magazine podcast network with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to connect your brand to our conversations and our audience, visit ITSPMagazine.com to learn how to sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey.